Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality, with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Program for Wednesday, August 20th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as
always. We lost you, as always. Dr. Vicki? Uh-oh.
Dr. What happened?
I got you back. Don't do that to me. I can't do this without you.
No. It just stopped for some. I'm sorry, Michael. It just stopped. I didn't touch a thing.
Gotcha. Well, but it's probably an internet thing, gremlins. But, hey, I'm very happy to have you. I know you were going to say, as always, you're happy to be here. And I have to say,
yes.
As always, we're happy to see everybody in the chat. Always like catching up with you every week. And always appreciate people that take the time to catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, again, I know that people that listen hear the direct feed from my microphone into the system, but Vicki, you have it filtered out through the Teams app that we use. But
I do.
Yep, that was my dog Marley keeping the foster a little in line. If you heard some rough barking right there. But looking forward to having a chat. We're going to have a nice open chat, so if anybody in our live discussion would like to hear, has any questions on their mind or thoughts, you know, throw them in the chat. Otherwise, we're just going to have a friendly conversation, pull some cards, keep it going. And, before we get into that, as always, we like to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, you know, tonight, we were both talking beforehand about, you know, what's been pressing, what's been on our minds, you know, and we didn't really come to anything concrete. We haven't talked about this yet, but it has been a running theme all year about change, right? We're in a year of change. I think you even said maybe next year even more so, or maybe it's the catalyst next year, but we're definitely in a transitionary period. And you know what's coming to my mind? New beginnings, you know? Fresh starts. And I'm thinking of it really right now in my own life. You know, I'm just going to let you in behind the curtain a little bit. I've been in a new relationship. I'm looking at a new way of living. I'm looking at a new family. I'm, you know, thinking about the prospects of these things. And it can be quite intimidating, you know, in a lot of ways, but exhilarating too. And, of course, you know, we have friends that are starting new endeavors and things like that. And, you know, just thinking about this year in transition, it feels like a natural way to go. But I will tell you, again, just to let you in a little bit on my mind and my life, it gets scary, you know? I'm a person, I like to be in control. And when I go into the unknown, that one's miracle. When I go into the unknown, I, you know, feel like maybe I'm losing my bearings a little bit. Maybe I don't know this, you know, situation or how to handle everything. You know, that's something growing up, you know, I wanted to be able to handle and, you know, deal with any situation that came up. right? So I wanted to be prepared, and I would think about all these different conversations before they would ever happen. And I would think about this contingency and that contingency and all that. And some of the biggest things in my life, some of the biggest changes were either spontaneous, unexpected, kind of on a whim, and that changed the trajectory forever. But, you know, when I stopped thinking so much and started feeling and going with my intuition, I could find some breaks and adding to the conversation. By the way, Bettina, Marley says hi back. And Donna says she just moved, which that's a huge new beginning, too.
But, well, I moved last year, too, and I know that can... And the older I get, the less I can cope. Well, because the less my body can do, but that's a different thing altogether. But where you're at, Michael, we can think we know, you know, that we're capable of a lot of things. But until you're in it and emotionally triggered, uh-huh. and you find all those little brush strokes of dynamic,
right?
You know, and it's small. They're tiny. Mm-hmm. They're little tiny things. And so you want to have control of everything, but if you look at it seriously from another point of view, it's so small. They're small things.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't help myself. I keep coming back to, you know, these pop culture references. And when I think about, you know, letting go and trusting your instinct and trusting your feelings, I keep coming back to... This is the Jedi way, you know, listen to your feelings. There's a truth to it, you know, and, you know, Donna's saying that she's been a nervous wreck after this move. So much changes, you know, so many things. And not only do you deal with a lot of change, but as you move, as you go through your possessions, as you go through your life, you know, memories are stirred up, emotions are stirred up, you know, it's a, there's a lot going on.
There is. Change is, You see, I kind of welcome change, but I like the change I can control.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Yep. You know, I can't tell you how many times, like, even sometimes if I can't sleep in the middle of the night, I'll rearrange the furniture in a room, or, you know, I'll reorganize something, you know, or I'll change, you know. Little things, I love variety. You know, I rarely buy the same drink or eat the same food. You know, I'll go through patterns and then I changed something else, something new. Something that's minor, doesn't change the overall life, but it's still a little something. But I do think there's something to be said about variety being the spice of life. But also, if you don't change and you don't change long enough, stagnation happens. And stagnation has a certain, what's the word I'm looking for? What came to mind is an evil quality. You know, stagnation can have a little evil tint to it, but that's not right. But stagnation can be detrimental to, spiritual health.
And yet, order is good. Because while you were saying you like to change furniture, I was thinking about Dr. Jeff, who's in the chat tonight.
Yeah.
And I happen to know, well, everybody knows he has, you know, a site called The Blind Outdoorsman. Jeff is clinically blind. And he and his wife, Shauna, happened to have a house full of company, and a lot of the furniture was rearranged and stuff, and it really put him off. Yeah. He had to get his house back in order so he knew where everything was again. So, you know, it's just, there's an irony to that, Michael. You get up to, you can see it, you can change it, and there's somebody like Jeff. I know Kevin also, who's in the chat. You know, is clinically blind, if you will. I wish there was another way of saying that, to be honest. It sounds so old-fashioned and clinical. But so it's, you know, some of us need order.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first one to create my own chaos. That's a problem. I mean, I downsized last year, got everything in order, know where everything is. And why can't I find that now? Yeah. You know, come on. I just had to put it away. But I have gremlins and things do disappear, so.
You know, with you, I believe that it's literal. And just a shout out, Donna had mentioned that she moved into Florida, so welcome to the humidity. But also, you were under a tornado warning, so hope you're doing okay. It sounds like you are. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it. Glad you said that you're doing all right. Yeah, it can be surprising. I've been through hurricanes, so I'm sure we've had tornadoes that have been around, but I've never been so close to a tornado as when I lived in Rapid City, which is on the outskirts of the Black Hills, and had one that just buzzed by the house. I couldn't tell you how close it got, but the windows were rattling and stuff. You know, that the old-fashioned tornado warnings in the out in the Tornado Alley Midwest. But, yeah, glad that you're safe. Welcome to Florida. It's a big old mixed bag. But, but you know, a lot of things to love about it, too. So, you know, wishing you the very best. But
well, you know, again, change, we can go with change. Look, change is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn and tap into our resilience and welcoming change. And again, Michael, with certain things in a new relationship, what's a preference versus principle?
Right.
You know, and checking in with that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one.
It really is.
But there's other people in the world that are dealing with change that's imposed on them. I'm thinking of Hurricane Aaron, you know. I'm thinking of other environmental things that happen to people. You're talking tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things are going to happen, people. Life is going to happen. So change is keeping order as best as you can in your life.
Right.
But we have to have that flexibility and resilience.
Right.
We have to.
Right.
It's going to happen.
You know, we have to keep that resilience. We have to keep that flexibility. And I was just thinking earlier that when we do make these major life changes, it does open us up to new risks, right? Like perhaps Donna came into a, you know, tornado warning there. I don't know if that's going to be something that is indicative of, Brad and Brian, other Floridians. Glad to have you, but I don't know if that's indicative of the state. I do know we have our share. It's not like it's Tornado Alley. But in any change in life, you are doing a trade-off, right? You're trading the known for the unknown and possible new rewards. And that carries with it certain risks. But let's not forget that not changing has risks in itself. Not just stagnation, but life is full of unforeseen risk in ways that we can't possibly imagine. And I just think back to, you know, learning about the ancient origins of humanity, as far as we know, you know, the hunter-gatherer stages. I think back to the Polynesian people. I think back to the people that crossed the Pacific Ocean, you know, living on these ships for long stretches of time, sailing into the unknown, finding these specks of Earth completely isolated. But the bravery, courage...
Sometimes it's good to do those comparatives.
It is.
You know, if those people can survive that, I can survive this.
Yep, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I know there's people who've been through worse, more, you know, and to this day. And so, you know, I have to say this. There isn't a day, if not two or three times a day, that I don't consider myself grateful and blessed in so many ways. I have shelter, food, you know, I'm good. And a lot of people who don't have. So again, when you're talking about changes, Michael, I think about how any one of us in the snap of a finger can have things removed, you know?
Right.
And today, yes, we have to live in a timeline and plan for tomorrow and be organized, but living for the day, being grateful for this day, you know, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're embarking on a whole new journey, which is really cool.
It is.
But if you have not lived with somebody before, ooh, big adjustments.
Right.
The only thing I'll say is, if I may say this, don't try to be somebody else's entertainment. Don't think that you need to be, and don't think that somebody is there to entertain you. I found that a lot of relationships have trouble when there's a need for an entertainment value.
Right.
And especially young people. You know, very young, and, you know, they move right from their parents' house into a partner's house, and people are working, they got priorities, they got stuff going on. You do find your way in it, but it's, you're there to be partners.
Right.
Entertainment, or to be entertained, and it's to live a good life.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that entertainment isn't part of it, but, you know, it's just to live your life as well as possible.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I will say that,
yep.
you know, you know what? I love being entertaining. I love cracking jokes. And it's, yep. you know, it's not just about, well, first off, I do love making her laugh. I love having everybody laugh. But it's also for me, you know, I guess, you know, I always thought about the absurdity of existence. And I thought, well, you can either look at the absurdity of life and you can either laugh at it or mm-hmm. you can be driven mad by it. And one thing that I will say is I have been, you know, embarking on this new journey, this new relationship, this new chapter of life. It's the, you know, it's anybody that's been there knows the feeling of it's like it's a terrifying feeling in the most wonderful way, you know. And yep. one thing that I love about this journey with her is that we laugh with each other. And, you know, if, even if it's like something silly, like, you know, we're having a tender romantic moment, but then as I breathe in, my nose whistles and then I crack a joke about it and we both start laughing. I mean, it doesn't make anything worse. It just makes it all so much better because you can enjoy these moments, these moments of humanity. And we know
until she goes through menopause, everything will irritate her.
Something
no
to look forward
offense,
to.
Karen. It's true, though. I had a friend of mine once say, "I can't even look at him eat anymore." And by the way, if you're not familiar, there's the We Do Not Care Club that's going around. She's just gone viral. The woman is hilarious. Welcome to the We Do Not Care Club. We do not care anymore if we're wearing our pajamas, you know. And it's, but she's hilarious. Now she's got an agent, and there's T-shirts, and there's offshoots, and satellites going, you know, all these other.
Right.
But it's a very fun way of managing through menopause. I know you can't relate to it, Michael, but
well, not
women
yet.
Sure can.
You know. I get cramps. I've had hot flashes.
Oh, no. That's funny. If anybody would like a card pull tonight, we have a few people in the chat mm-hmm. tonight. So I'd be happy to start on that while we're having our discussion. So.
Absolutely. And, and you know, I think, you know, we'll keep it to a tight broadcast tonight. You know, we've been kind of going off the cuff, and I think we've had a pretty good conversation so far. It's been valuable to me for sure, but I think I definitely want to pull some cards, have some chats, but yeah. you know, we'll see how it goes. Not putting a time limit yeah. on anything, but
no,
we wrap
Dr. up. Dr. Jeff has said as an insert there in the chat, he said that there's a joke in his house that he's certified blind, not clinically. I love that. Certified.
I've been called certifiable. I don't think they meant the same thing.
That's funny. By the way, and for those who don't know, Jeff is also a great advocate and supporter of service dogs. Mm. He's on his second one. And as you know, Michael, you're just the dog lover.
Yep.
And we have a lot of animal lovers on here, so... you know, it's awesome. And I know that, Jeff and Shauna have done a lot of traveling and
yeah.
that dog is amazing. So just amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I had a little chuckle. If anybody can hear, it's probably far enough in the back that you might not be able to, but that is my foster dog Bear. He is whining because my German Shepherd Miracle or Mira is sitting in the doorway, and he wants to come in and sit next to me, but he can't because she's in the way, and now he's being a fuss butt. But
you might want to tell people that Karen lives a few doors down from you. When your dogs escape, they end up at her house.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. My my girlfriend Karen, you know, who I'm deeply in love with, and it's going wonderful, and I am just ecstatic. She does. She lives down the street. In fact, that's how we met. She helped my husky mix Charlie, as huskies will do. He escaped. He was running loose through the neighborhood, and she helped me catch him. And, of course, you know, she loves him to death. He goes with me, you know, most everywhere, but she's, you know, all the dogs have been there and, you know, and she's been here to see him too and all that. But, yeah, like one time she has a son and we were having a birthday party for her son and I had Charlie there because he's easygoing. And, when I got home, Charlie started bucking like he didn't want to go back inside. And so I went to grab him cause he thought he was going to slip out of his collar. And then three of the others ran out the front door. And so I pick up Charlie, put him inside. I go in, I grab leashes, and I run out, and I don't see him anywhere. So I'm walking up and down the roads, and as I finally decide that I'm going to walk back home, I get a phone call, and it's Karen. She says, yeah, three of your dogs are at my house. So they'd ran out of my house, ran down the street. One second.
Yeah, we got you. Went down the street, and there they were, and at Karen's place on the couch looking out the window.
Yep. Well, and going crazy because there were still a few kids there for the party. So, yeah, and sorry, I had to sneeze.
All right.
But, yeah, just to wrap this up real quick, yeah, they went out, ran down the road. Karen saw them out her window, opened the door, and all three just ran straight in and had a ball. So, you know, that was their second home. And I know we do have a few cards pulling in, so let's go ahead.
Yeah,
and,
we have Bettina first, Michael.
All right. So, let's see. All right. So, for Bettina, I have number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Well, this is when you have the Two of Cups or the Two of Hearts here, Bettina, it is about relationships, and it doesn't have to be an intimate partner relationship. It can be anyone where you're emotionally invested in some way. And it might be that you're reevaluating it, and you're reevaluating it, or you're looking at the relationship. Are we on, Michael? I keep hearing the dinging.
My microphone is muted, but otherwise, I mean, we should be on. I don't know why that dinging that was happening.
Yeah, I know. It was dinging a few times. I thought, oh, maybe we popped out. But the Two of Hearts with trust and integrity, you might just be reevaluating a relationship or more than one. It's like a value for value. And, I had a conversation with my daughter not long ago about investing in relationships. And I said, yeah, but if I call somebody three or four times and they don't call me, I stop calling. You know, because it has to go both ways.
Yeah.
So, and then I wait and they'll call or they don't. Now, I'm not offended by that, but I'm not going to keep investing in something that is not going to be reciprocated in that way. So maybe it's something as simple as that, Bettina. You know, trust, integrity, Two of Hearts, and looking at relationships. So we have Donna next.
All right, Donna. Donna, for you, I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. It's a good one.
Well, it is a good one, but when you have the Six of Swords or the Six of Spades as a partner to that, it can also indicate some confusion. You know, whenever we're changing our minds or learning new info or, you know, our brains are recomputing kind of thing, it can feel challenging, conflicted. But the beauty of the Six of Spades is that you're getting to a destination that it might be. I always call it one of these moments of crossing a bridge, Donna. So that open-mindedness is stay open. It doesn't mean you have to believe everything you read or everything you study or everything you learn. I'm just saying that it's like crossing a bridge, like from one frequency into another, one reality into another. So you're getting there. It's just, I want to say, hang in there. Just stay open-minded to all possibilities and filter out what doesn't belong to you. That's fair. You know, it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to you.
Well said. I like it.
Oh, we have Kevin next. Dr. Kevin.
And Dr. Kevin, I have 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, I had a chuckle when I turned this one over, Kevin. Temperance. I often see temperance as patience. Do no harm, do right. I have learned even driving in traffic, the older I get, I just chill out. The angrier people are, the calmer I get. And I just, you know, it's like the guy's going to pass you at 100 miles an hour, and we all get to the red light at the same time. You know, and that can be frustrating. People who are challenging the process. And so I feel like that might be something here, the do no harm, do right, and patience is, I don't know, maybe jury's out waiting for a verdict, or it's like just waiting, and it can be frustrating, but you're getting to the home stretch. You are. So I want to say just be patient just a little while longer. I hope that makes sense, Kevin. Jeez.
Good stuff. Well,
we have Jeff next, but I have to say this. He wrote in the chat, they're in the process of trying to set up volunteering with his dog at a place called Crescent Cove. It's one of the three homes in the United States that specialize in caring for kids and their families at end of life for kids with shortened life expectancies. We're hoping that we can volunteer with some pet therapy. That is fantastic. That is really cool.
I love it.
Awesome.
I'm glad you touched on that. I definitely wanted to as well. You know, you have a special place in my heart, Dr. Jeff. You know, I've always said dogs are truly humanity's best friend because, you know, it has been argued that without dogs, we wouldn't have really started hurting animals. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have begun agriculture. They have been so good to us, so good for us, so loyal that, you know, I love the fact that, you know, we can both give back to them. But also the fact that, you know, you're volunteering with the dog that's specializing for caring for kids and their end of life. That is just another way in which, you know, I think that they do get something out of it as well, because there is nothing that's more comforting than that pure soul and energy. And I love that. I read that earlier. Yeah. I wanted to call it out. I'm happy that you did, because, you know, especially for kids when they're faced with that mortality far, far too soon, you know.
Well, it's helpful to mention for that Jeff and Shauna also, their kids are grown and gone. Mm-hmm. You know, they're off, you know, living their own lives. And he says, all I have to do is show up. She'll do all the work, meaning his dog. It's true, you know. Jeff, you're following your calling. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy for you. Jeff was recently married, bought a new house, building a new life himself, Michael. Talking Everything about, is yeah. new.
New beginnings.
New beginning, and it's, you know, how you have just melded into it and opened your life up, Jeff, is amazing. They grow all kinds of herbs and make kombucha and all that other stuff that I don't like, but that's irrelevant. Like, you know. you know, if they travel and having a good time, but this is something where you're going to enjoy yourself immensely and make other people's lives better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's pick cards for Jeff.
I hope this connects for you. I have a wild card for you. Wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and as always, remain open.
Well, what I love about this is the Knight of Wands, or the Jack of Clubs, if you will, is supporting the blocks. It's just, and I'm going to say here, it's just a matter of getting the right information, Jeff. So some of the blocks can be paperwork and the rules, regulations, that kind of thing. But you're bringing change, because that's what the Jack of Clubs does. He's a communicator. He likes changes. He's innovative. There's youthfulness involved, and you know, he's got the energy for it. So I think that you're going to overcome whatever challenges are there, like right away, in fact. So good for you. I'm so happy for you, Jeff. Of course, Jeff has a soft place in my heart. we go back a long way from the beginning of the time Jeff joined the school, and I got to know Jeff a little bit. And, you know, through messaging, of course, he's in the U.S. and I'm in Canada, and, you know, through meeting Shauna, and just, as you know, having his boys around, life mm-hmm. changes. And when you get to see somebody, Michael, and their life evolving in this mm-hmm. way, it's like, oh, it makes me feel good. You know, I love them. So Kevin is saying, for his cards, he said, it does make sense. Life's on hold until some legal stuff is resolved. Patience is the best course, but it's so frustrating. Mm. Hope it works out. I want to say it's going to work out, Kevin. It's going to work out. Maybe not in the entirety that you like, but it's certainly going to go in your favor. So that's my prediction. All right.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And Brad, I did pull a card for you. I got number 29. Pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others. Even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, to remind yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
I got the Fool. It's the first card in the tarot, the major arcana. New beginnings, start points. It might be, Brad, that you're getting a do-over of some kind, a new start point. You know, sometimes, Michael, in life we push the refresh button. Brad, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I'm getting here. And kind of a regenerative energy. I'm trying to pick my words carefully. With the pay it forward, it might be that if you've inherited something, but it could be knowledge as well, and not just finances. But pay it forward doesn't always mean it has to come from us. It can come from somebody else who's returning it, and they're paying it forward. And what will you do with that? In that knowledge moving forward, you know, so the energy keeps moving in a really good way. So you're continuing that frequency of giving. So, I think it's really encouraging. So there's some start points here for you, Brad, and you just got to keep going one foot in front of the other, you know, fire up. That's great.
It is. It is. I love to hear it. And not to leave Brian out, I have a card for you as well. Number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
And you have the Five of Spades, Five of Swords. It may be that even the two of you, because for those who are in the archives and don't have the benefit of the chat, live chat, Brad and Brian call in together, or they're in the chat together. Maybe it is that something you're both encountering here, Brian. But I want to say the hardest part is over. The biggest challenge is over. And it's now taking inventory, seeing the bigger picture. You know, I was asked about predictions the other day, and somebody, namely my oldest daughter, said, "So do you like to remind us of your predictions to tell us you were right?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm fascinated. I don't know where it comes from. And I'm always in wonderment of it."
Right.
You know, it's being in the wonderment of something. And that's what this can afford for you, Brian. It's the wonderment of something. What's next? That one planet. How do you take it then to a bigger picture, a larger scale? The super consciousness, we can see the microcosm and feel the stress of that, but when we take it to the macro, we get a different perspective. And I think that might be kind of where you're at, gaining a new perspective, Brian. And I want to say, you've got this. Like, you have that insightfulness. But again, I want to assure you, I think the worst of it is over, that emotional worst of it. So the anxiety of it, and now you're grounded and looking at the world in a new way. So power up. I say you're both doing great. And thanks for the feedback. Brad apparently has reported that his do make sense, so that's good to know.
That's what we like to hear.
And I'm very serious and genuine when I say, I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more mesmerized I am. I wish I could put it into words of... there are no words to articulate that I am equally as surprised as anyone else. You know, I don't take this for granted, I guess, is what I'm trying to say to you. And that's why that feedback is important, because I go, wow, I have no idea. I like to think I'm just a good listener of something that's out there. Because I myself don't know anything, Michael. I'm just listening. There's a connection to something out there. I know my daughter challenged me even about the Akashic Records. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, it's not an actual library, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean? No, it's a universal imprint. You know, everything is imprinted in the universe like a fingerprint, you know? But we're always changing those frequencies, and there are multiple pathways. But the universe, in that way, has all that information. Cause and effect, action, reaction. And we are the deciders of our lives to the best of our ability within the framework of the reality that we're living. And I have to say that because... you know, if you live in certain countries on this planet right now, it's not in your hands, right? So you're doing the best you can with what you have. And so if we take things to a higher level and are curious, we know that being down here isn't all that is cracked up to be, or all that we thought it was, or is important, and we stop sweating the small stuff, is what I'm saying. It's because it's small. It's small.
Yep.
In the scheme of things. I am reminded in my brain right now of a young woman who came to me many years ago. And she wanted to know, and of course I gave too much information at that point. I said, whoever the man is you're going to meet, he wears cowboy's boots. And of course she couldn't imagine that, but you know, she did in fact marry the guy with the cowboy boots. And then she came to me another time about how unhappy she was. And I went, huh. Well, what do you mean you're unhappy? Like, I have to ask you a couple of questions. And, well, he doesn't eat with the right salad fork. I said, say what?
Right.
Well, and he doesn't do the dishes properly in the dishwasher. And she was nitpicking all these little things. And I just sat back, kind of, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. And I said, well, it's interesting. You got everything that you want. You have a man who does dishes. He doesn't like a salad fork. Oh, well. But he cleans the house. He cooks. And he adores you.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So let me make another prediction. You keep this up. You'll have two kids, but he won't do anything right. He won't change the kids right. He won't feed the kids right. So he'll just give up and not do anything. And then you'll leave him because he did nothing for you. Meanwhile, he's off to another woman who doesn't care if he chews gum with his mouth open. And she looked at me and I said, can we just bring it back for a moment? I want to tell you, whatever your belief system, God does not live in a salad fork.
Yeah. That's the truth.
And God energy, the God love, I'm not talking a guy in the sky, the universal and the gods, if you will, mm-hmm. Odin, Thor, whatever, they don't live in a salad fork. It's what I mean by it's such small stuff, and that's part of bringing it back to what you were talking at the very beginning of the program, mm-hmm. Michael, about control. And this was a young woman who, she was deeply in love, but she was so scared. She was so afraid, and she didn't know how to receive love.
Mm.
And, you know, that some could say she's acting like a spoiled brat, and maybe there's some truth to that, but she didn't know how to receive it freely. She wanted to critique everything and right. have it her way to have control because of her fear.
Right.
And, you know, once we address that fear and give her a whole new perspective, oh, most partners don't have another partner who does dishes or cooks, you know, or cleans a house. Some don't know how to turn on the vacuum. So I mean, I think everybody should know those things. However, I mean,
it's kind of basic, but yeah.
Yeah, well, there are people, you know, who don't. So I'm just saying, if we stop, and the older I get, the more I appreciate this too. I felt like when I was young raising kids, I had to have a lot of control because I got too many things in my head.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to do it all. I've got to be organized. The kid, I'm up at 5, you know, I've got to get organized, have this and that. Kids are up at 6:30, you know, you pack lunches, I got to have a load of laundry in. I mean, my list is long. Any woman who's had kids, your list is long in your brain. And you can't articulate it or write it down to anybody because there's too many things. You're playing with the kids, but you're also thinking of, oh, I forgot to pick up Red. I got the doctor's mm-hmm. appointment tomorrow. The kids have a dental appointment. Oh, yes, and they're going to see the school counselor, and I couldn't wait for the report card and the parent-teacher mm-hmm. meeting. Now, if you're getting tired of hearing me say all this, imagine how tiring it is to have it all in your head. So if a woman, especially women, come across as a little bit controlling, it's because they have that all in their heads. There's so many little things to think about, and when you're raising other little people. So if she wants a little bit of order or control, oh, just take a breath. Know that she's got a lot going on. So, and I'll say that I've met a lot of single dads who are the same way, by the way.
Yes.
They've had to learn. I've met a lot of single dads who take all that on, and they have to start out, and I've coached them through it, a process of make your list. You know, because they don't naturally, men, and this isn't trashing men. It's not a natural, like, process to think of those details. It's something more learned. And I blame a lot of women for that, because women ordinarily don't teach.
You're talking about mothers to their sons and things like that?
Oh, it's true, though.
I will say that there's a potential to that. Again, by the way, I know you can't hear it. People a little bit ago heard my dog Mira barking a little bit, a little sassy. She was keeping Bear at bay, and now Bear is barking consistently at her. And the bark collar that's on the counter, ironically, is going off. So. anyway.
Jeff said, don't forget the garden and the yard work.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was just going to say, you know, growing up, you know, before, you know, while my mom was going through all her stuff, before the divorce, before he remarried, you know, my dad did everything.
Yeah.
Did the cooking, the cleaning, the dishes, all of it.
Yep.
You know, got me ready for school, bought me school stuff, clothes. So to me, it didn't seem odd, you know, I grew up with it and did that kind of stuff.
And again, the difference there, you had an example of the man, a single dad having, you know, to play that role.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
it's not common.
You know, funnily enough, all the way. Thank you, Bettina. I'd appreciate that. She said she loves hearing the fur kids. They do have personality. I will say, you know, it's an irony, and I will say, because obviously I know better now, but growing up, you know, my mom was just not well. You know, I'll just say that she just wasn't well. So when she did take a crack at things, you know, a lot of times dishes would have food stuck on them and things like that. Ironically, I grew up thinking that women weren't good at doing dishes. I thought that that's men are good at doing dishes. Women can't really do that. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just, you know, that's just coincidence, obviously, you know. What's men's work? What's women's work? Debatable. You know, the roles. What do you enjoy? You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that you should work on dividing responsibilities and should have an adult conversation about these kind of things of who's going to do what, what's going to be, how are we partitioning the work and all that. But, it's all good.
Well, I know we're going to close off the program here, but my second daughter and her husband, she cooks, he cleans the kitchen. That's their deal. But very often she's going to cook something and she's in the middle of cooking it. And he comes in the kitchen and says, what are you cooking? And she'll tell him. He said, nah. And he goes out and gets a pizza. And she's not offended.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You know, that's just their deal. Now I'll get a pizza. Okay. I'm having this. and they just make it work. Well, it's just like they're really good friends. She's not taking that personally.
Well, because she doesn't have the expectation that him doing something else is, you know, him turning on her, right? And I think, you know, you were talking earlier on about this woman and, you know, getting upset about the wrong fork. It is the expectations, you know, it's the little things like that. Expectations are a heck of a thing. They change everything after it. But, you know, I will say this, you know, change is one of the few things that is guaranteed in life, and change will happen, whether it's change you direct or change the world directs around you. So, you know, so at times don't be afraid to take that risk and, you know, find what rewards await in the unknown. But, you know, but you are right. It is getting that time of evening, and I figure at some point I have to give my poor foster dog a break. He just so desperately wants to be by me. And Miracle has been keeping him at bay, being the good German shepherd she is, has been keeping him at bay for the last hour.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us. And as I like to sign off every week, don't let them push you around out there. And what I mean by that is don't let the will change who you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you see stuff going on, stay true to who you are. You know, and again, Dr. Kelly's words of, you know, if it's a matter of preference, move over. If it's a matter of principle or law, you know, you stand firm. So you know how to deal with it.
That's right. Well, again, thank you everybody for joining us. We do have one more next week that's just going to be you and I. And then my father, Dr. Doug Kelly, will join us on the 3rd, the week after. But I don't know that we have a topic, but we are going to have a good conversation. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, you mean like there's going to be an alien invasion?
Oh, hey, that's a good one.
Don't believe that stuff, people.
Wait, is that something that's real? I've been.
No, well, yeah, they're putting it out there, you know.
Okay.
That everybody's going to say there's an alien invasion coming, and it's predicted for November. And
okay.
I'm going, oh, you people. There's, like, if they were going to invade, come on. They would have done it a long time ago.
Oh, for sure.
Jeez. It's just, who knows why they're starting that, but I have a good idea who. Never mind.
Everyone, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Can't wait to see you next week. And I truly appreciate every one of you. So thank you. And until we do see you next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.